Thank you, Brother Palmer. Let us remain standing for prayer. The kind Heavenly Father, again we come unto you knowing, Lord, that without you we can do nothing. In fact, Lord, many times you, and all the time, in fact, through the ages, you bring men low and cause other men to ride over them and do those things that bring men right down so that you might have the preeminence, showing us that we are nothing within ourselves. And yet, you have entrusted so much to us. Not only have you entrusted those things which are visible to the world, but you've entrusted yourself to us. For you said in your own word that we are members of you, and that the real true church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, made of these many members. This is a very solemn thought, Lord, and we just many times wonder how it is that we let our minds wander and not always keep the mind on those things which are so sober and sincere from you, O God, and mean so much. For we depend upon them and know that without them we'll never be with you, Lord, where there would be no hope, there would be nothing. So, Lord, tonight we just pray you receive our gratitude and this little expression of words at this moment, that we do recognize, Lord, in a little tiny way what you've done for us and who you are to us. And Lord, we just pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds even wider and further, and then may your word be impressed upon us, O God, in such a way that it will never leave us. And at the right moments of our lives, Lord, as has been guaranteed by the Holy Spirit, may we be conscious of that voice teaching us and helping us and guiding us at just that right time so we can be true overcomers. And so, Lord, we just praise you for all things you've done and for yourself in the midst of your people. Forgive us all our sins and help us now as we commit ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Certainly a privilege to be here with you again tonight, and realize many of the brethren and folk have had to leave to go home, and of course they'll get home now for the weekend service, and we trust the Lord will be with them in journeying mercies and also encouraging them to be of inspiration to the people over whom God has given them the leadership by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't recall Brother Palmer mentioning that Brother Brown will be speaking tomorrow morning, but if he didn't say it, I'm saying it because he told me that's what's going to happen. That may even be a surprise to Brother Brown, but I know he loves surprises, especially this kind. All preachers do. So it's all right, though. He'll just have to go ahead. And then tomorrow night, of course, as Brother Rosinke brings us a final message in prayer for the sick, I know that the Lord will come forth and back up his word. Remember that God stands behind his word to perform it, and it never fails. You know, one preacher years ago told me, he said, the Lord never failed him, though it seemed he came within 5 minutes of doing it once. And you know, I suppose that's a testimony of everybody just about all their lifetimes, that the Lord does provide, and if they just let him. Of course, there's testings and trials there. Myself, I've always been confirmed in this truth, though I don't say I practice at all times, but when pressure comes and there are testings and trials, there always has been a voice saying, now just calm down, just be careful, because I'm taking care of you. But we don't always listen to that voice. But the voice has to be there, because that's exactly what the Lord said the Holy Spirit would do for us and in us, guaranteeing us the care of the Lord. So just try to remember that and be of good courage. The old boat is going apart. There's no doubt about it. And the world's got to fade and be sort of pummeled a little bit more, really purged. But remember, we're all going to get to shore. And we're all going to come back, at least on a part of the earth renewed. I don't know how much is renewed. I'm not too interested. As long as we get back to the part that's renewed. God's guaranteed that. And that's what makes us happy. Now tonight, I want to bring you a message. And the message is, when the sacrifice is ineffectual. When the sacrifice is ineffectual. And this message is based upon the teachings of Brother Branham. And of course, we don't talk about Brother Branham as Christian Science talks about Mary Baker Eddy, because she sort of wrote her own Bible. But Brother Branham came and he revealed the Bible. Not another Bible, but the same old Bible that's been in existence for hundreds of years, And everything he said, you're going to find it in there, or he had no business saying it. Now, I don't mind him saying those things, which are visions and all, because prophets have visions. And they're not in the Bible. That's true. But actually, they'll be based upon the Bible and have something to do with it. So, we want to talk about this because there is a place, there are times when the sacrifice is ineffectual. Brother Branham said so, and we'll tell you what he said about it. And I like to talk about him, as I said, because he was vindicated to bring us the word of the Lord. You know, I realize many people don't understand that as we do, because they just say there are no more prophets, there's no anything. And I just heard Brother Epp talk about that the other day, but he's wrong. He's wrong. And I keep telling people, I come from Canada, I never saw a red bird in my life, but I saw a picture of one. As soon as I got to the States, I said, there is a red bird. In the Bible, it talks about a prophet in Deuteronomy 18, and I saw him, I said, there's a prophet. Well, now, if they don't want to believe it, it's okay by me. You can just write anything off you want. You can do it here tonight. Nobody can write anything off you want. I don't give or care. It's none of my business anybody does. I'm not responsible. Our Bible tells me I got to stand my own 2 feet. It's not my brother nor my sister, Lord, not the deacon nor the preacher, but it's me. It's me, O Lord, got to stand my own 2 feet. The Bible talks about a prophet and it said, if you ever see a man come in the name of the Lord, and the thing he said come to pass, you hear him. Another place it says you fear him. And that's exactly right. I was there that night that Brother Francis read about when that couple was defying the prophet of the Lord God, and he had life and death in the power of his hand. And I was scared plumb to death. They weren't scared, but I was. You think that life and death not in the hand of a man of God? Something wrong with your thinking. If you want to believe some wishy-washy old stuff, that's all right. But tonight I'm going to just kill all that nonsense in my message when the sacrifice is ineffectual. Amen. I'm going to show you in the Word of God. We're going to read tonight then in John 3:16-21, and then continue in Acts 3 just for one verse. It says over here, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, the title of my message means exactly what it says. Absolutely what it says. Now, in Acts 3:23, "It shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Now it says here, and it says that the actual sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins of mankind is of no avail to certain people under certain conditions. That's what we read over here in John. Now some verses of Scripture seem to deny that. Some verses seem to say that the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ releases every single sinner from condemnation. As we read in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then over here in the book of 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 2, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And then again over here in the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree." And again, in 1 Corinthians, the 15:20-23, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in a manner, in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Now these verses seem to tell us that Jesus Christ died for every single man in this world, who has ever been born or will be born, and therefore those persons are released from condemnation. But we know that this is absolutely not true, because Jesus himself plainly tells us in Matthew 7:23, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And in Matthew 24:41, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And again, in Revelation 20:15, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So therefore we see that the death of Jesus Christ does not automatically give us eternal life. In fact, I can bluntly say that the death of Jesus Christ does not give us eternal life. What it does, it opens the door to eternal life. Total salvation is not found in his death alone, as many people believe. That is absolutely a lie. Total salvation is not found in the death of Jesus Christ alone. Total salvation is found in his death and a rebirth by the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. It is not simply enough that Jesus Christ died upon Calvary's cross. I realize that took care of the sin question, but there is a life question that must be answered. And that life question is found by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now we can see this over here in the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14, because we read the 14th with it. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Notice, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It said that Jesus Christ died upon Calvary, releasing mankind from their sins in order that they might be a fit vessel to receive the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Holy Spirit, which is life eternal, because the Holy Spirit is God. There is only one God, and he is Spirit. And when you receive him, you have eternal life, and you are just as eternal as Almighty God is. Now, if we will just go back to John 3 again, we will notice two tremendous statements are made to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It says in verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to judge or condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And then it says here also that "he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now in verse 17, we see that God sent his Son not to condemn or to judge, but to save. Now God cannot fail. We know that what God wanted to be accomplished, he absolutely accomplished. And we find that over here in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and in verse 7, concerning Jesus Christ coming to earth to die. And it says, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Jesus Christ actually came and did the will of God concerning that which he was to do, which was to die upon Calvary in order to redeem men from their sins. And again, in John 17, the 4th chapter, we find here, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." He was talking, of course, of a certain thing he was to do before Calvary, and he did it. Absolutely did it. And then upon Calvary, he said, "It is finished," with the understanding that that part also was consummated now. It was done perfectly. It was acceptable to God. The will of God was done absolutely and entirely. Then in verse 18, you will notice that God gives full credit to the work of Jesus Christ to the sinner who believes. For he says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." He is not judged, and he cannot be judged, because "but he that believeth on him not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, you'll notice in verse 19, in spite of what Jesus Christ accomplished for the whole world, condemnation still exists. See? Because this goes beyond the cross. This goes beyond the death of Jesus Christ and even His resurrection. And it says in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In other words, the cross did not eliminate judgment. It didn't do it. You can read some scriptures and say, well, it's all right, I've got a sacrifice. Jesus Christ died and that finishes, it's all over. That is not true. Because it says here, and the verses subsequent to verse 17, that judgment still exists. So here we begin to see why the accomplished work of Christ in His life and death and resurrection, though fully evil in itself to save an infinite number of souls, fails to do so. See, he was given for the whole world. And the whole world could be saved. See, it could be. Because the sacrifice is perfect and complete in itself, and you don't need to add or take one thing from it. It is absolutely right. See, it's perfect. But men condemn themselves, not by rejecting the finished work of Calvary, but because they reject light. Well, that's what the Bible says. God doesn't condemn anybody on the grounds of the finished work of Calvary because it's perfect. It avails for anybody and everybody. But the condemnation or judgment comes because they reject light. Now I want to go over it again with you. God sent His Son to save mankind from judgment. It was a perfect finished work. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But there must be a certain kind of believing there that embraces more than a sacrifice, because it says in verse 19 that verse 18 is voided by rejecting light. Not rejecting the sacrifice, but rejecting light. See? Now it tells us that. God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world. And if He didn't send His Son to condemn the world, then He sent His Son in order to save the world, because the world's under condemnation. See? And it says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that doesn't believe is already condemned. See? Then it says, and this is the condemnation. This pinpoints it. See? What's going wrong? What is miscarrying? What is misfiring? What are the people missing? If this isn't working, and it tells you, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. It isn't the sacrifice that's being rejected, it's the light that's being rejected that voids the sacrifice. See? Now this is exactly according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and in verse 26, and remember we read from that same chapter a while ago. And it says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there isn't any sacrifice. It says a sacrifice doesn't do you one bit of good if you reject truth. For it categorically says, if we sin willfully, and remember, sin is unbelief. If we absolutely refuse to believe, when the knowledge of the truth comes, there isn't any sacrifice. In other words, it tells you that the sacrifice is what brings on the light. And then when you turn off the light, there isn't any sacrifice. See? So we see something here that's very important. Though the sacrificial work of Christ would save us, we are condemned by turning away from the knowledge of the truth. As Brother Branham said, the full effect of Calvary cannot be known apart from the revealed Word. And that's exactly what the Bible says. People can say what they want, but He was a Word prophet. And He absolutely brought us the Word of God with no mistakes whatsoever. And notice also He said, the Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. That's what He said. I believe it. And the Bible proves it. Because it says back over here in John the 3rd chapter, we're going to examine what the Bible says. It says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Now God sent His Son to the world, to condemn the world. He didn't send His Son to do that, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now listen, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now listen, He's amplifying and tell you something. You don't just stand here and say, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Hallelujah, that takes care of it. Listen, that's ignorance, and that's wrong. I know it says it, but that's not all that it says. See? That's not all that it says. You've got to take every word in the Bible and come out right. Now listen, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's only one believing that you and I have got to do, and that's to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And it says right here that men are condemned because they turn Him down. It says that these men are not turned down because they believe in the only begotten. They believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then it says here they're condemned because they turned down light. He is saying here exactly what Brother Branham said in plain English. The word interpreted is a manifestation of the name of the Son of God, because they turned down the interpretation and they turned down the name manifested. And when they turn it down, they're lost. Now you people tell me Brother Branham wasn't a word prophet. And you can afford to go some other way and take your own interpretation. Not here to cause a fight. I'm going to go down fighting. Well, didn't he say it? Let me say it again here. He said the word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. And if you don't believe on the name of the Son of God, you're lost. And he said if you don't take the light, you're lost. So the revealed word is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. Amen. Now you try to put it in any different, you can't do it. Now there you are. Turn down, reveal light, and say you're saved. The Bible says you're not saved. You say you know the name of the Son of God outside the revealed word. I say you don't know the name of the Son of God outside the revealed word, because the Bible said so, and a vindicated prophet proved it. You think I'd get this on my own here? Huh? You think I'd get this out of Scripture by myself? The prophet said it. Then you think I got it by Lee Bale studying? My human brain got it? I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, well, he got it by knowledge. He's smart. He's just nasty. You watch your tongues, my brother, my sister. Amen. I could no more figure that than nothing. But the pastor of the Holy Ghost said this is what he said, and here it is. Amen. You tell me you can't see this word in the Bible? The prophet said once you see this message, that's all you'll see. Amen. And preach some kind of nonsense. I don't have to defend myself. I get just a little bit tired of all this ridiculous talk going around. Someone trying to justify himself or make himself somebody. There isn't any somebody amongst us. If the Holy Ghost doesn't show us, my brother, my sister, we can't be shown anything. And if the Holy Ghost is showing us what Brother Branham said, then let me tell you, it's not a human mind that does it. It's got to be the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, did he say it or didn't he say it? I'll ask you a question. Then is it right here? And he said, once you see this message, that's all you'll see. Amen. We're not separatists. We're not trying to make ourselves some clique or some clan. But we've got a right to know where we stand. My life's depending on it. Because brother, sister, if I'm blaspheming this word, I'm lost as lost can be. See? Now there you see it. Now let us examine this light that men reject. And watch the strange language of verse 19. It says, this is the judgment or condemnation that light has come into the world. See? Notice, this is the judgment that light has come into the world. The human mind would not say that. You're in darkness and the light flashes. Oh, great, I can see it. The human mind does not talk the way the Bible talks. The human mind would say, this is the wonderful grace of God. The light has come into the world. Hallelujah. It's marvelous. They would make it a thing of illumination, wherein God was giving light upon light on our path and bringing us closer and closer to Him. But the Bible does not say that.
See, the Bible doesn't say it. Do you understand me? Brother, sister, this is why we are different. See, we're different. Not like other people. The light has shone forth. And we know the Word of God. Because the perfect revelation has come. Men look around, they say, look at the light of God, look at the light, look at the light, look at the light. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The Bible doesn't say that. It says it condemns. Let me prove it to you. John 15 and chapter 22. Verse 22, I'm sorry. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not sinned. But now they've got no cloak for their sin. God strips us naked with His Word. God's Word condemns us. See? Well, people get so happy. Well, you're all right to be happy if you're right in the light. See? Now, the Word doesn't say that. He said here, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they've got no cloak for their sin. Stripped them. Left them naked. And so here it says in John 3, the 19th verse, it says that light brings judgment. It brings condemnation. Everything is under its scrutinizing gaze. As it says concerning Jesus Christ, all things are open to Him. See? He sees it all. Every single thing. Listen, all else but the Word itself, which is now revealed, is being judged. Yeah. Yet people judge the Word. Oh, yeah. Oh, that church is so dead. All they talk about is the Word. Oh, we need those gifts on the floor to hoop us up. Shame on you! I believe almost any preacher come up here and fool these folks that call themselves brides. They talk about experience, and you put your faith in experience instead of the Word of God. When the prophet shook his finger under my nose and said, Brother Baal, we don't go by experience. We go by the Word of God, and Peter said the same thing on the mount. When are we going to grow up? Whenever I preach here again, I'm going to preach it strong tonight. I want to repeat, all else but the Word itself, which is now revealed, is being judged and under condemnation. Let's go to 1 John, the 4th chapter. Oh, I love certain portions of Scripture. I know them right off. The rest I'm boobied on. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. It said, try the spirits. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. What's a false prophet? A man that's off the Word, but he's got signs and wonders. He's producing something. Amen. See, but he's off that Word. Now it says, watch those spirits. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. It didn't say had come, it said is come. Amen. Let me show you how tricky the devil is. Everybody said, well, that means that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Well, that means that when He was on earth, that was in flesh. And so they say to the devils inside of the person, hey, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? And the devils all say yes. They know exactly what to say to booby trap you. So that's it, Brother Bale. No, that's not it, Brother Bale. That's not it. Brother Branham said this referred to the church messengers, of which he was the end-time church messenger, that Christ had come in his flesh, as the Bible said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receives me in the person, that man receives God. Come on, don't get stifled tonight. Come on, open up your minds. Said Brother Branham, said, let your own thinking go. It's not worth a plug nickel anyway. It's a bunch of hogwash. You haven't got the power to think right. Come on, I haven't got the power to think right. Chuckleheads, dolts, nincompoops, oafs. Well, I got a vocabulary, don't worry. I know how to use it too. It's the power of speech, my brother, my sister, and it's in the Word here. Amen. Bringing every thought into captivity. See? Bringing that high thing down. You and I don't have a right to think. People say, I think. The great Kennedy-Nixon debate, I think. Look where their thinking got us. Yeah. I don't care what you and I think. What did he say? Amen. That's what's going to count here. Now, it says right here that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Recognizing it. That's why John said, he that hears me hears God. And he that hears me is a God. He said exactly what Jesus Christ said. In the book of John, Jesus Christ said, he that hears me is of God. He said, you're not a God because you don't hear me.
Amen.
Now, did he say it or didn't he say it?
Amen.
You see, a man got that kind of power, he better have because John said so. Now, he said, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not a God. Oh, there's no prophets anymore. Oh, we got the book now. We don't need that. Tells you right there, you're Antichrist. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. Not because I say so. The Word of God said so. Now make up your mind. Is it right or not right? It's either right or wrong. If it's wrong, throw in the garbage can. Eat, drink, and be merry. But for some of you folks, it's too late. You're too old. That's right. I'm not fooling. Paul said so. And he said, if this life only we got Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. I've missed it. Oh, in my human nature, I'd have loved to have done things. Oh, you bet. 14 miles wide and 80,000 miles high. I've missed it then, have I? Oh, no, I haven't. No, sirree. Because I believe the Word of God. I believe the Bible. It says He's come in the flesh. Now it says, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist to deny the living God working the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now can he be the same yesterday, today, and forever if suddenly no man can stand up and say, he that hears me is of God. And he's not the same anymore. Because John set a pattern. Paul set a pattern. He said, what did the word God come to you? Came out here to come out of you. He said, if any man's a prophet or spirit got the Holy Ghost, let him admit what I say is the commandment of God. Let him admit what I say is the word of God.
Amen.
He set a pattern. How are you going to change the pattern? See that you make all things according to the pattern which I showed you in the mountain.
Amen.
See? Now let's go on. He said he's already here. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome whom? False prophets with a false word. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And who's in them? The teacher, the Holy Ghost, the anointing.
Amen.
See, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. Brother Branham said, one word changed puts you in the kingdom of Satan. I didn't say it. John said it.
Amen.
John said it. I'm not mean. Told you I'm fighting runaway. If it helps me to yell, I yell. Yeah, you know they say if a woman's going to get raped, what you do, you scream loud. That's right. In this message, you're in the female gender. Loud, maybe loud shouting sometimes scares the devil off. You got to know where you stand. Said they're of the world and they speak of the world. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and spirit of error. It says right here, here's where you tell the difference of who, of where that, what that spirit is. Who are you listening to? I'm listening to a vindicated prophet that God answered back to. And he's not dead, he's alive. Because God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. And he's going to come back. And he's going to be the first church age messenger to come back. Because the seventh group is the first one up. For they that are last are first. And we're going to stand with him. And then be presented to Christ by him. I don't envy his position. I'm sure glad he had it. See, all else but the Word is condemned. It says right here, all else but the Word is condemned as the world. Oh, the people say, well, you know, Brother Bale, the world is really those short dresses and all that stuff. Hogwash. The world is changing one word from the Word of God. The rest of that junk are merely attributes. See? Now, notice in here, the revealed Word has become the judge. Because it says, Ed, when the light comes, the revealed word, and then everything is under judgment. Now the Bible says so. Okay, we go to Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, that in the Greek can be said, well, who says the same things as the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the foot, a girt about the pass of golden girdle, head, and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, eyes like a flame of fire, and so on. Who is it? It's the judge. Now, this is the revelation of Him who is the Word. See? And how is this revelation given? It says in verse 16, He's got seven stars in His right hand. And the Bible said the seven stars are seven messengers. And through every church age, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, it categorically states here, unto the messenger of the church of which is in Ephesus, these things said he that holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks. And then he says at the last verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But he's only talking to one man, which is a messenger, and he's got to take the message. And he said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receives me has got God. And if you don't do it, you haven't got Him. And this is in seven solid church ages, bar none. The pattern holds. See? It holds. It started with Paul, and it ended, we know, with William Branham. Now, it is the Word of God judging amongst us. It's right. It's the Word of God discerning and judging. That's why the Word of God is that sharp two-edged sword and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It goes right in the revealed light and lets you know who you are and what you are, where you come from, and where you're going, all about yourself. And that word discern means to judge between. There's your judging word. See, now let's just think of a judge in a courtroom. We go to the courtroom, here comes the judge. Now listen, all else but the judge is under judgment. All else but the judge. The old judge sits there, pontificating, so to speak. He might be some old whiskey sot, all beard down, bleary-eyed, shaky hands because he's had too much booze. And you're going to say, judge, you are a lousy representative. He says, shut up, I'm the judge. You say, but judge, I saw you messing around. I saw you in a cabaret. You go with other men's wives. He says, shut up and sit down, I'm the judge. Oh, I know. We don't like our judicial system. Oh, he's been bought off by the mafia. Shut up and sit down. I'm the judge. I'm just trying to show you a picture here. Everybody in that courtroom is under judgment but the judge. He alone cannot be judged.
Amen.
That's right. The judge alone cannot be judged. He is over the lawyers and their clients. And he controls the court viewers. You come in there and he says, you're out of order, get out. Arrest that man, bailiff. Throw that fellow out. Put him in prison. Do this. And they got to do it because he's in control. And nobody can judge him because he's the judge. That's right. He said, listen, you beer-soaked old devil, I know all about you. Out of the tree, he said, you're defying my court. Bailiff, arrest that man. Sheriff, arrest that man. Throw him in the cooler. Put him under $10,000 bond. I'll show you how to treat my court. I'm the judge. I want you to get the picture because it's the true picture. He controls the court. He is over the enforcement officers. He conducts the court according to the law and interprets all action and understanding of the law. I want to read it again. He conducts the court according to the law and interprets all action and understanding of the law because he's the judge. Now listen, there is no one over him, for he is the interpretation of the word, and thereby the manifestation of the nation and its power at that time. That judge is. You get what I said? There's no one over him. No one can compete with him. Because he is the interpretation of the word by virtue of the fact that he is presiding in that court of word. Now the word was in the framework of the Bible. So there's no one over him, for he is the interpretation of the word, and thereby he becomes the manifestation of the nation, because the nation set forth the word or the law. So that puny judge sitting there, I don't care whether you like him or not, you can hate him. He is still the manifestation of the nation and its power at that time when he sits in court. So is the Word of Almighty God revealed in His day. This is exactly what it is like when God so sends His revealed Word. All other words are then under judgment and condemned, for the token comes only when it is dark. Brother Branham said the token was the Word, the life of the Word, and he said the token only came at evening time when it's dark. And he said, "And every end of at the end of every age, when it was dark, God sent a messenger, and He was that Word to the people, because the messenger and the message is one, because they're both sent to God, and you got to receive both." See, so the token comes when it's dark. Listen, therefore, all other word is worm eaten. All other messages are dead. Well, they're condemned. They're condemned. They're judged. The fact that God sends light proves they're condemned. Otherwise, God would not send light. See? It indicts and forgives that generation. It indicts part of it and forgives the other in which it is given. Yet even those judged must stand before it and prove their justification. See, let me just say that again. It indicts or forgives that generation, because it'll indict some and it'll forgive others in the generation which the Word is given. See? Yet even those justified, and they're believers, they must stand before it to prove their justification. Now come on, let's go look it up, John 3:21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You say, I'm a Christian, hallelujah, got the Holy Ghost, then come to the light. Say, you say you're a doer of the things of God, you're a Christian. The word Christian comes from two words, Christos, and he all mean to go as Christ, go under the anointing. Then come to the light. Because it says right here that he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds might be manifest, to find out whether they're wrought in God, if he's right or wrong. That's why there's a judge, a discerner to judge between. See? Now, it is the sole manifest. Now listen, this revealed word is the sole manifestation of the kingdom of God to the age. Not the miracle signs and wonders and power. Don't you be deceived because there's genuine things out here in the air. Put them under the church order of Brother Branham and see where they go. I still don't believe the majority of people believe what he taught. They're still gullible. What are you, Pentecostal Eocians or bride? See? I mean, I'm not trying to hurt you. But you're under the light. Bring what you got to the Word and see if it's condemned. I told you last night I had a condemned ministry. God's Word condemned my ministry. The only ace in the hole that I had to discern and pray for the sick, to try to get a crowd and build up something. Let me tell you, brother, sister, those healings were genuine. God did it. But I was wrong. You see, what I heard just a little while ago of the wonderful things being done. Well, that's great. Let's bring in Sister from Pittsburgh. Tippy toe across the stage. Were you waiting for me? Here I am. Why, she can knock anything we've seen into a cocked hat. It's like that. Say, well, sister, you're right. I can see the Word of God does allow you to preach, honey. There must be a mistake. Paul is a woman hater anyway. Oh, come on. And I said, give it the word test. Now they're scared to death of a word test, because the deeds might turn up evil. Bring what you got to this message. Oh, Brother Branham was a great prophet, but I had a few things in my life too. Saddest thing I ever saw in my life were old men that served God for years, turned down a vindicated prophet and said, well, Brother Vail, God's worked through me too. And I could have said, listen, old brother, have you had visions in technicolor about 10 feet high? Well, I have. Have you prophesied many times? And it came right to pass. I have. I got two in his right ears. Sister Lois Mercer and the Binghamans. They know about me. They know in Florida how I prophesied and what I did. I was wrong. Balaam prophesied. Perfect prophecy. He was wrong. Bring what you got to the light. Come on, bring it to the light. Because let's put it under church order and see if it's a bastard child or not.
Amen.
I'm telling you something about a bastard child, brother, sister. A bastard child has just as much vitality in him or even more than the legitimate. He's not dead. They tell me Castro is a bastard child. Look what he's doing. He's not only alive, but he's bugabooed the whole United States. A mighty nation this side. A little guy like him sitting out there and they don't go take a stick and knock his head off. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm not a fighter either, but I'm just telling you the truth. Bring it to the light. What do you got? Bring the light. Come on, bring the light. What have you got in your life? Bring it to the light. Are you afraid? Or will you do it? Now it says everything else is under condemnation. Okay? Now, sure here. But men will not receive its sovereign authority. They don't want it. You know why? Because they love darkness. Now what is darkness? The absence of light or the absence of revelation. They cannot stand it because their deeds are evil. Now what are evil deeds? I'm glad you asked. Well, I asked it. I'm sorry. But I'm going to tell you anyway. A lot of people don't want to know what evil deeds are. But the Bible tells us. It says over here in John, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 10 to 12, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you have heard in the beginning, that we should love one another, and not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. It says right here that the works of Cain was evil, and that's the reason he slew his brother, and his brother's works was righteous, and that's why he got mad at him. And the evil work of Cain was to present to Almighty God the sacrifice of the first fruits instead of the blood. He's exactly right. See? And God looked down at him, and he said, thou hast offered right, but if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? And you said, Brother Bale, I don't believe it. Then you better believe what Paul said, because he said, concerning the dear old Abel, he said, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and if Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, then Cain's offering was excellent. Listen, that word doesn't mean excellent either. It means thorough and full. And it says that Cain's sacrifice missed it because something was missing. And what was it? The light of God, the divided word. Now, here is a perfect picture right in Genesis of one who refused to come to the light and the other came to the light. And God said, Abel, you've come to the light, and the fire fell. He was under divine revelation, and old Cain would not come. And God said, you're cursed. Okay? There you are. People go to that Bible misdivided and think they're safe. They think I've got a sacrifice. I have got some privilege here, but they're off the word. Now let's prove that's the same thing at the end time. Because brother, sister has always got a duplicate. Alpha is Omega. I don't care where you go. Genesis is Revelation. It starts in one book, it ends in the other. So let's find out. So we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians, which is also the book of Revelation, because it says the same thing that John says. You notice there, if we can ever find it. In the second chapter, in verses 8 to 12, and then that shall wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord should consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of coming, even him was coming after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. It says right there that Satan himself has got control of something, whereby he shows signs and wonders and powers the same as the Holy Ghost and the bride. And then it says, with all deceivableness. Remember, his lying wonders is his system of finances. with all deceivement of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. It says right here that the truth came and they rejected it, and proving that they were deceived by their own unrighteousness, they wouldn't see what they had in the light of the Word of God revealed. It says so right here. Paul said what Jesus said. John said what Jesus did. You said, you wonder? You can't wonder. They have to say the same thing. It's the same Holy Ghost. And it says, for this cause, God, not the devil, but God. Say, my Lord wouldn't do that, Brother Bill. You've got to be sick. Are you going to stand right here in the face of Scripture and call God a liar? Come on. It says, God will send them strong delusion. Say, oh, the Lord wouldn't do that. Well, you're worshiping the wrong God, honey. Now, I hate to be sarcastic, but it's the only way I know to get a point across. You're sold out to the wrong God, because this God says, I'm going to do it because I told you about the light and you wouldn't come to it because you didn't want to see your deeds are evil. You wanted to jump up and down and scream, well, see, it works. Look, it's good. Huh? In the face of thus saith the Lord, turn down what the prophet said for some man's experience? Come on! What's the matter? See? Now he said here, for this cause God's going to send a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. And what is the lie? You shall not die, but you will. It says that they all might be damned. Notice, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But Jesus died. I don't care if he did die. And I mean this. The death does not take care of this. Rejected light rejects the sacrifice. If the light doesn't shine on the sacrifice, you haven't got one. If there's no light on that old rickety staircase out there, you'll fall and break your neck. If there's no light on the perfect staircase, you'll fall and break your neck. There's got to be a light. Not that the staircase isn't there. Not that the sacrifice isn't there. It is there. But when there's no light on it, you can't see it. See? Exactly what the Scripture teaches. We see its horrible refinement over here in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Notice the horrible refinement at the end time. People turning down the light, but screaming about the power and saying, we've got the power, we're right. Notice what it says, verses 4 to 9. It's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and taste of the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste of good word of God, the power of the world to come, not if they shall fall away, having fallen away in spite of all of that. You say, Brother Vail, can a fallen away man, a man that's going to be burned, do all those things and have all those things? Yes! 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 It says they cannot come again to repentance, which means to change your mind. Now people say, now you see, Brother Bale, it's not mental, it's so spiritual. Oh, you poor deceived creature, you tonight. God have pity. I'm sorry to talk this way to you, but I've got to shake you in case you heard something even the last 24 hours. You think I'm wasting my time here, coming here? I want to know, tell you flat why I don't like these kind of meetings. Too many preachers. Too many cross currents and ideas. Justifying themselves by experiences. What are you talking about? It says right here, these people can never see the light because they turned it down. And it's blessed to me. I'm going to give you a quote what Brother Branham said concerning Balaam. Does God change his mind about his word? He said, for conscience sake, they'll preach Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Just conscience sake. I said it conscience sake, because they knew there was a prophet. I'm not here to tear anybody up. Buddy up. Listen, I came down here to preach the truth. You do what you want with it. Won't you take your experience and flaunt them in my face? I'll come right back at you. I've had them too, kid. Get this straight. Says they got experiences right here. They taste. Doesn't say they're phony hogwash. It's the anointing Brother Branham talked about. But they won't believe the word. And not if they fall away. It's having fallen away. They'll never come back to that word. Because the prophet said, add one word, you'll add another, you'll add another, and you'll add another, then you'll take a word, you'll take a word, and you'll take a word, and you'll take a word. See? He didn't quote Revelation 22:18-9 for nothing. See? Now it says, the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, how often? 7 times. The word of God fell, because the word is rain. Bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed. Imagine, it says, the word of God will bring forth in you, my brother, sister, if you just tend it. If you don't say, well, I don't think the prophet meant it. Well, as you see, the prophet said that, but you see, the scripture over here says so-and-so. I was not long ago with a man. And I said, Brother Branham said, a woman is duty bound to leave her husband if he will not let her pray, and will not let her read the Bible, and will not let her go to church. And he said, did the prophet say that? I said, he said it. Oh, he said. Did he? Well, he said. You look at it here in 1 Corinthians. It says, let the unbeliever not depart if he's content to live. So you see, she's sweet to him, and therefore then he'll leave her. The prophet didn't say that. The prophet said, if you don't leave sister, mother, father, brother, husband, wife, you're not worthy of me. Oh, the prophet said it, but, oh, here it is over here. Oh, no, it ain't. But I've had an experience. That for your experience. Said that for your experience. So did Belshazzar. So did Balaam. So did Judas. Okay. This question should have been settled years ago, but it's still here. Like Paul said, you should be men and women by now. Growing up, we've still got to go back and forth to the milk, the milk, the milk, the milk, the milk. Now it says right here that's going to come forth. He said, now you just tend that word. You water that word. It's going to come forth. You dress it. It'll be blessed by God. That word's going to be blessed. Where? In you. And now it said, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. What is that? See? What is it? That's that false word. To make no mistake about it. That's a false word. This is exactly what it says over here in Matthew 7:23. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Yes, you cast them out. Have we not prophesied? He said, yes, you prophesied. Didn't we do wonderful things? Yes, you did it, but you're still cursed. Depart from me. Now, where's your big manifestation? Huh? I didn't write the book now. I'm just talking about it. Again, notice it in Matthew, the 6th chapter, not just over there in Matthew 7. And I'm not mad at anybody. But just in case the devil should slip in, I'm going to beat him to it. For in case he has slipped in, I'll have to hammer it down. Verse 22, the light of the body is in the eye. We're in the eye age. The last moving part, my brother, my sister, the body is the eye, and the eagle prophet caught it. He said, the light of the body of the bride is in the eye. Now he said, therefore you as an individual get single with that eye that's of the body. Now your eye was not of the body. William Branham's eye was of the body. John's eye was of the body. Paul's eye was of the body. But your eye was not of the body, my brother, my sister. No, it wasn't. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. If you think you had an eye, you're wrong. The prophet had the eye. Now it says if you'll get with that single eye, because there's not two, three, four more, there's only one. It says here, if therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. That's why Brother Branham said, when every one of you, if I get 10 of you, in one room that sees the light, there'll be a rapture. But if thine eye be evil, wrong interpretation, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And there's going to be that kind of a church at the end time, because it goes to total eclipse. Yes, amen. If therefore the light that's in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Huh? Oh, well, you see, Brother Bill, please don't do that to me, because I'm a very unkind person. My heart is like an onion. I keep circumcising, but there's still layers of meanness down there. And I just can't take it. You just can't take it. Why? Because I've been with a vindicated prophet. I can't look elsewhere. This is the word of God fulfilled. And he said right here, how great is your darkness? And the Bible says that in Hebrews 6. They can never repent. They can never change their mind. They'll keep going in that rut. Amen. Right. Because they They categorically say not what the prophet said, but knowingly come against what he said. Now, I know that it's very nice of you to say, well, we're going to do so and so. That's you, go ahead. I only got one job, and that's to teach. Do a lousy job of that, but I'm here anyway. Let's go to Matthew 23 and 37. I like that little verse of scripture back here. I wouldn't read it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? Now here's Jesus standing in flesh, and he never was there before. He never come in human flesh before. He said, when were you born before? What kind of a guy are you? But he said, I would have gathered you. Now, but just a minute now. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I gathered thy children. He that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. People, you wonder about Christ in your life. Did you receive the prophet? Now here comes the tricky part. Then you must have received Christ. Oh, but no, he wasn't Christ, Brother Bill. No. Well, see, I'm too delicate to believe that. Well, goodbye. It was nice knowing you. I've enjoyed your free dinners, your hospitality. It didn't do you any good. I'll never see you on the other side. And I will never be there myself because I've disbelieved God's word at this point. And you can go no further than your faith, Brother Branham said. A doubt comes in and you're finished, and we doubt that we received Christ. Oh, this is sticky. I know it is sticky. Huh? Very sticky. Very, very sticky. Oh, you follow a man. You make him Jesus. No, I don't. I just make the word what the word said. He that receives whomsoever I send receives me. He said it. You receive him. And when you do that, you receive God. You say, well, it couldn't be that simple. Oh, but it is. You say, it couldn't be that easy. You know why it's not easy? I'll tell you, because he was a man. So was Jesus. And he still is. Still is. Oh, I'm sorry for you. If you think he's God, he's not. Because it says the man, Christ Jesus, is interceding. And who's he interceding for and with? With God for us. Yeah, I read a tract one day where a man used that for a Trinitarian gospel. I said, who wrote this? A grade 4 kid would be failed for writing such a stupid thing. For it says he's not God, it says man. So the little kid gets a grade A for writing that we milk the horse. I thought you milk cows. Well, if Jesus is God in the scripture, then a horse is a cow and a cow is a horse. I'm not being funny, I'm telling you the truth. If you're a grade A student, you say 2 and 2 make 18. Yes. There went all 6 of us, and 2 people went down the road. Because the Bible said he's a man. But you see, I say he's God, so therefore. Well, come on. I'm sarcastic, but I'm not full of hate. Oh, people think I get mean at all. I'm not mean, I'm enjoying this. I'm not trying to make you squirm. I'm trying to get you to see something. Let your thinking go. It's gone anyway. A prophet came vindicated. No use arguing. What can you produce? Go ahead and produce it. I'm saving up money for my car. It's going to run about $6,000. I'm getting near that mark. I can write a check tonight for $5,000. You prove to me anything. You come up here and prove it. I give you $5,000 right now for one little proof. I'm not kidding. You need a new car? You want a down payment in the house? I have the money waiting for you. Because, see, I always pay cash or I don't buy. So I got to save and save, and I blow it. Oh, yeah. Not lying to you. Now, I got $5,000. I can write a check for you right now. Will you come and prove me something? You see, it's always easy for people to talk, talk, talk. Now, you put your mouth right up here. I'm not meaning you, but anybody in the world. Come right up here and show me. Can't do it. If I offered you $1 million, you couldn't do it. So my money's safe for my car, praise the Lord. 120,000 miles of current can't last much longer. I trust 40 more. Now, he said, I would have gathered your children as the old hen gathers her chickens, but you would not. See? He said, I would have done it. How was he doing it? By sending the prophets and others to them, and they turned them aside. See? Because they rejected Christ the Word. God with the skin on it, and God is the Word, it's got to have a skin on it.
Amen. See? Brother Branham wasn't fooling.
Now, never forget Hebrews 6. This was Brother Branham's end-time vision of the wheat and tares. Our human mind goes to Matthew 13. Because when you think of sowing, you always think of Matthew 13. A sower went forth to sow. That's the scripture on the serpent seed and the real seed. This has to do with the Word. This has to do with the end time anointing. Because Brother Branham saw people who lived in sin, operating gifts, genuine hypocrites, with the genuine Christian and genuine gifts in both parties. And he said, oh God, now I'm finished. I don't know what to do.
And God said, just a little while, son, everything will be just fine. I can show it to you. Just take it easy. So one day he felt compelled to go to his cave, and he sat there and just praying about the thing and about Brother Davis, who had said some terrible things about him. He's praying for him, which was the only thing to do, not pray against, but pray for him. And pretty soon he laid his Bible down. The wind opened the book to Hebrews 6. And he read. He said, that's interesting. Hebrews 6, closed the book. And then he turned someplace else, laid the Bible down, and goes right back to Hebrews 6. And a vision broke. In the vision, he saw the world and a sower in white going forth. Now, this is Hebrews 6. Now, what is it? Hebrews 6. Right? Which Brother Branham said was the end time message, and which you and I know is the end of the time. Because this is the final. The once for all.
Amen.
See? No more. It's over. Now then, the sower goes forth to sow, and a man in black goes out. So what's he saying?
He is saying that the Word of God goes out as he took it out, then other men will run even around the world and take out the wrong Word. And it'll have to do with the anointing of the power and the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And they say, look at it, I've got it.
But they don't got it. Now listen, the two ages won't mix. The two messages therefore won't mix. Because one is Laodicea and the brother and the other is bride. Listen, there is no court of appeal beyond the revealed Word.
When you go to the Supreme Court, they are the final adjudicators of what does the Word really say? What does the nation stand for? What is the power all about? And the Supreme Court says, thus and so, and it's over.
Amen. And when God brings His Word, the light, there is no court of appeal. That's what Jesus said, if I had not spoken unto them the Word of God, they had not sinned, but now they're naked. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Now, I hope I'm not scaring you, but I hope I'm getting you to love this Word. It's the only thing that I really love. People can love a lot of things, but I love the Word. Now, it says in Hebrews 10:4, it is impossible, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It sure can't do it. It won't do it. He said in burnt offering and sacrifice, he said, there is no pleasure. In other words, we can see right here that there, even back in the Old Testament, there was a place where the sacrifice was predicted that it would not work. See, it shows you. Because they're resting on it in the Old Testament, it worked fine in certain cases, coming a time when it wouldn't. But here it says now in Hebrews 6 again, for it's impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, having fallen away, to renew them again repents, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. And it says right here, just like in the Old Testament predicting it, that there would absolutely come a time when the sacrifice would not avail. And as the sacrifice of bulls and goats would not avail, when Jesus Christ came, so when the Word of God's revealed, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ does not avail. See, it won't do it. Because it is simply not there when we're looking for it. Now, once they make God a liar, for that is what they do, there is no hope. No hope.
Now, of course, Hebrews 6 is the same as Revelation 3, 14 to 21. It's identical. Because the once for all message in Hebrews 6 is the once for all message in Revelation 3, 14 to 21. In other words, the Amen's word is the once for all enlightenment, because once for all is Amen. See? Put the two together. Now, we'll do so by looking here at 3 and 17 in the book of Revelation. Now, because thou sayest I am rich, increased in goods, and don't need a thing. See, enlightened, the heavenly gift, have the Holy Ghost in them in anointing. They have the good word of God and the power of the world to come. My brother, my sister, when you got that, you could honestly say to the best of your knowledge, I don't need a thing. But you do. But you do. Because the Bible says right there, something went wrong. And it wasn't with the... Now listen, it wasn't with the heavenly gift. It wasn't with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't with the Word of God. It wasn't with the power of the world to come. It was rejecting the enlightenment. See? Now, they had all of this. But in spite of it, they are the tares of Hebrews 6 and 8. And in Revelation 3:17, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and don't know it. And it says right here, the tares don't know it. Because they've got the rich endowment of the destructive deception of God. When they let the devil deceive them, then God says, I'll just finish it off for you. And he always does. You can see right here in Hebrews 6, they have no availing sacrifice because it says they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. But they do have tremendous spiritual power and the Word greatly demonstrated in power, but the light is missing and they are rejected. This is exactly Matthew 24:24. See? Let's look at Matthew 24:24. That's one of Brother Brandt's favorite scriptures. It's one of ours too. Not to hurt anybody, but we've got to stand on these things. And it says right here, for there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And not just elect, but the very elect. What's the very elect? The standing bride at the end time. Because there is an election for those who will stand at the end. Because in every age there's an election. You got to be elected to the first age. You got to be elected to the second age. It's not blanket election. It's age election to match the Word. Amen. It's the Word of the hour. The Word in season. That's why there's a message in every age. And Brother Branham said the age of seventh age has never matched Pentecostal age. Why? Because it brought the first ones in. That message won't do us. See? We've got to have the end time message to bring in the Word, because we're part of the body of the truth, because Christ is truth. We are a part of His wonderful body. See? Now, there you are. And in the light of spiritual experiences, now these people, in the light of the spiritual experiences of Hebrews 6, see? Who at the end time, I say, who will at the end time? I'm asking you a question. Who will at the end time believe Revelation 3:17 that they're wretched, they're miserable, they're naked, they're blind? How are you going to tell a woman preacher with a worldwide ministry of healing and miracles and claims to have 30 to 50,000 souls saved, say, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're naked, you're blind? Now listen, she can't help but either go into a blue funk and cry because you were just so mean to her, or curl her lips and say, well, then you produce what I'm producing. She never read the scripture that said, many more are the children of the desolate than she that hath a husband. She couldn't have read it, or she wouldn't say it. She couldn't have read what I read tonight, or she couldn't have read with her eyes open. Nothing against her, just bringing out the truth. See? This is exactly what John 3 and 20 to 21 said. So let's go back, because that's where we got our major portion of our script. Now, for everyone that doeth evil cometh to the light, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds reproved. Do you know something, brother, sister? This message is absolutely hated. You know why? Because those dear little sisters out there couldn't believe in serpent seed. Oh no, Eve never had that great big four-footed hairy monster do then. Well, it wasn't the four-footed hairy monster that did it. He was almost identical to Adam. And remember, the boa constrictor is a giant. They found one in Brazil. Is a giant. Huh? They found one in Brazil 6 feet through and 30 feet long, the giant of all snakes. And he is the one snake with remnants of hips. And he is the one snake that breeds in the mounting position like an animal. Not by twisting and turning. So we know who the father of Cain was, brought down to a giant reptile. Simple as ABC. Also, little baby snake hearts are like little baby human hearts. They have to close the veil. Now it says here, everyone that doeth evil hates the light. What light? Serpent sees one of them. What a nasty subject. What has that got to do with the lovely grace of God? You ask God, don't ask me. A vindicated prophet came on the scene and said he would plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former reign. Now he wrote it all down. Now you can talk to God about it. No use talking to me because I'm not here to be talked to. I'm here to preach. Just teach a little word of God. Now, it says, everyone that doeth evil hates the light. He won't come to light lest his deeds should be reproved. Do you think they'd come to this message and throw away their gifts? Do you think for 1 minute they'll come and put in church order in order to see whether they got the real thing or not? Huh? No, sir. Oh, what a night it would have been had Jacob turned on the light. And he'd have seen Leah instead of Rachel. But by morning it was too late. You're afraid to turn on the light because your fornications are so delightful? I'm hitting you right on the head now because that's what the Bible says it is. I didn't say it. God said it. But now it says here, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Now there it is right there. But you say, Brother Dale, I was doing those things. Oh, no, no, just a minute now. You didn't know any better. When the light struck, you said, that's it. That his deeds may be manifest whether they are of God. Listen, there's only one test. It's the word test. When are they going to learn? You don't test the word by the Spirit. There is no test in the Bible like that. None. But you test the Spirit by the Word. Huh? Have we learned that tonight? I wonder if we have. I may never see you again. I wonder if you've learned it. Or can somebody come along and tell you all about experiences and say, oh, but you see, you can be mental. It's got to be in the heart. Brother Branham said, the mind is the womb of the Spirit. Did he say it or did he not? Now, why don't you believe it? How far? Why don't you believe it? Well, come on. Oh, I'll put the book on my heart and get those good feelings. You see, I feel those goose pimples, Brother Dale, and I know it's God. A lady, kind of a lady preacher, said that to me. She ran her husband, too. But the goosebumps knew it was gone. No, I'm not mean. Come on. It seems religion can fool anybody. I want to tell you something, Brother Sitchin. I'm deadly serious. Religion is the most profitable thing in this world. You can get God for nothing and sell Him for everything. But one day He's going to want that all back. I mean it. I'm not fooling. I'm deadly serious. You can sell God. You can buy Him for nothing. You can get the anointing on you. You can do just what this Scripture says those wrong ones will do. And turn down the profit. There's a day coming, my brother, my sister, when you're going to have to pay back every cent. I don't want to be in that crowd. Now I hope you're beginning to see the truth about grace and mercy and judgment and wrath. Many people in this message say that grace is over. That is not so. For it is not whether Jesus is on the mercy seat or not per se. It is whether the light is with us. And we are accepting or rejecting it. Let's go over here to Revelation chapter 22. It says verses 10 to 12. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You know something? between Revelation 10 and 4 when the book was sealed, and between Revelation 22 and 10, it has to be unsealed. Huh? Thunders and all. Now, come on. Come on. It's got to be unsealed. Because one place is sealed, then it says, don't seal, so it becomes unsealed. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, be righteous still. What's he talking about? The unsealed book is going to do it. That's the difference. It's going to be the word test. See? Now look, at animals are animals and people are people. That's right. They are. And a kitty cat loves milk. And it doesn't love to chew the bark on a tree. But a goat can drink milk and it likes the bark on a tree. But that doesn't make a goat a kitty cat. See? Now come on. There's a lot of manifestation and a lot of talk, but there's one difference. It's in the seed. Because the seed of a kitty cat is not the seed of a goat. And the seed of God is going to go to the Word, because it said that book is going to get open, and it's going to be open before Jesus comes, and when He comes according to the light, what you've done with it, you're going to be just or unjust, holy or unholy, righteous or unrighteous, because that's what the Bible says. And he said, my reward's with me, and I'll give to every man according to his work shall be. And then he says, over here, he said, I testify, he said, if you touch one word one way or the other, you'll get the plagues. And remember, Eve added one word, and we've been suffering 6,000 years of plagues. And my God, what will happen in the lake of fire when men lose their lives? That's a solemn question now. There are many people who think we don't believe in a hell. We do believe in a hell. We believe it's thrown in the lake of fire. It's not eternal. But if one word adding brought 6,000 years of plagues to millions, literally billions and billions of people, one word added, and we lose our life for taking away one word, how long will the lake of fire endure, my brother, my sister? It's something to think about. It has always been this way and always will be that way. The light has to strike the seed. If the light doesn't strike the seed, it lies there. The blood allows grace and truth, which is light, to come. Our redemption follows this pattern. See, it's, in other words, the sacrifice opened the door. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2 again and see it, because it's absolutely there in front of us. In the 10th verse it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, see, they're deceived by their unrighteousness, just the way Cain was. Cain said, well, I'm in the Bible. The first fruit offering is what I gave you. Accept it. He said, you've offered right, but you've not rightly divided. The light struck you, turned it down. He couldn't take it because he was wrong seed. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It didn't say just the truth, it says the love of the truth. Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost evidence is amen to every word and loving it. I'm just adding that in my own because it says, here you love it. For this cause, because they turn it down, they don't want it. And they could be saved, but they won't be saved. God is going to send them strong delusion, and they're going to believe the lie. That they all might be damned, condemned, or judged, who believe not the truth. There you see it again. The light strikes and they turn it down, it's condemnation. It doesn't matter if they've got a sacrifice. It doesn't matter if they spoke in tongues. It doesn't matter if they had manifestation. It doesn't matter if they worked. I'm not preaching this because I want to preach it. Do you think I'd believe this? If the prophet hadn't taught it? You're wrong, brother, sister. I would no more preach this than nothing. No, sir, I wouldn't preach it. But I got to preach it. See? But notice, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even the belief of the truth. Amen. Spirit of God won't work outside of that word. Just an anointing. See? Now, but we're beloved of God, sanctified. Now, in this day we're ringing down the final curtain of the Gentile church age. It is the hour of the resurrection. That cannot be denied. And what is the prerequisite of that resurrection for the bride standing on earth? What is her prerequisite? Let's go and find out. It's Ephesians 1. We're going to get through nice and early, another hour and a half. I'm just kidding you. Haven't got that many notes. Ephesians 1:15-23. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself. I thought you already had it because you got the Holy Ghost. We said they don't have it because you got to send it. You say, that to me is an individual. No, my brother, my sister, it is not to you as an individual. It is the prophet messenger of the end time. Listen to what the prophet said. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church of the revelation of the Holy Ghost. My writing is horrible. So is my eyesight. I've got to go over this again. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church... bringing the church into revealing what day they were living in, just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel. The Holy Ghost comes to the church in the last days to reveal the great things of God. That's the spirit Paul was praying for. Not you and me to get the Holy Ghost over again, but the Spirit of God and a messenger coming down to open our eyes. Amen. Thank you for a few weak amens. I don't want to be sarcastic, but I just told you something, my brother, my sister, which is the truth. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. They have the Holy Ghost. He said you already received him after you believe. Want me to read it for you? In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom you after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance. You're already just about there, but you're not. But he said, I'm praying God and that the Spirit of revelation, what I got now, will come again at the end time. I'll show it to you. Hold on. Said, cease not to give thanks to you, because you're sealed in by the Holy Ghost, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance and the saints are, and what His exceeding greatness, His power to us who believe, according to the work of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ and raised Him from the dead. That same power is here as in the unbeliever anointing Him, but the same power by the Word, through revelation and knowledge of Him, by the Word of Almighty God, in us to give us the resurrection, without even dying. You know something? I'm going to prove it to you. You like to be proven things? I proved it by the Word. And I'm going to tell you what Brother Branham said. He said, under the seventh seal, he said, oh, I thought you might have guessed what was going on all this week. But he said, did you know? It was them angels. Isn't that nice? What were they doing? Bringing a message. First angel brought a message. Second brought a message. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, who were those messengers? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Board has made a mistake. Didn't mean to, but he made a mistake in the rapture tape. Now, when you hear that, I don't tell you, I can't tell you what page, but when I read it one day, something said, oh, hold on. And I said, I'll hold on, goody-goody, I'll hold on. I like to hold on for God. And I went to the other manuscript I had, and I found something, and I said, ho, ho, ho. Now, who's right? And I went to the tape, and Brother Borden's book is wrong. Because Brother Branham tells you who those messengers are. And he tells you categorically that they are the ones who represent the messengers down here. So Paul had one, Irenaeus had one, the seven eyes, the seven voices, the seven lamps. Now hold it! Brother Branham said that was those seven messengers, of which the seventh mighty one meant more to him than any of them, because that's the one that was going to do it. See, he was the one to Brother Branham to open those seals and all, to really do the work. Now, but listen, in the first seal, he said, I was just about to come and preach an error when the Holy Spirit swept into the room. But I thought he said angel. Now, let your thinking go, brother, sister. God always has to put himself in a creature form to present himself, or he'd never get himself across. And in a creature form, the Spirit of God was indwelling And seven eyes, seven lamps, call us seven anything you want, which are before the throne. And that messenger and the Holy Spirit was one and the same thing. It was an embodiment. And the Spirit of revelation came to the prophet. And he revealed to us through his eyes, as the Scripture says, unto the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea, these things saith the Amen. The beginning of the creation of God. God creating himself in a human form was about to stop it because the bride would be completed. Now here's that spirit of wisdom and revelation as it was in the days of Daniel. And William Branham came and they said, "Oh, William Branham, I had a dream, but it went plumb out of my head." He said, "But it's not out of my head. I'll tell you your dream." Just like Daniel. And a man came and he said, "Brother Branham, I dreamed so-and-so." He said, "Hold it right there. You did not dream so-and-so. You dreamed such-and-such." He said, "That's right." What's he doing? He's revealing. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He sent the token at eventide. Have you received it? Say, "Oh, I can't take that prophet because after all, you see, Brother Vail, I can read the Bible too. And it says over here in 1 Corinthians 14:26, that's church order, you know. Brother Branham said it was not church order. He said it was church disorder, my brother, my sister." Oh, they get mad when I tell them that. And I say, "Brother, your spirit is showing." Oh, yeah. Well, come on. Are you with the Word or aren't you? Listen to it. "That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may see what the single eye for the body saw." Amen. Enlightenment. Hebrews 6, Revelation 3, 14, so on. "That you may know what is the hope of His calling, and the riches of His glory in the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of power to us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power which He wrought in Christ." Let me tell you flat, the working of the mighty power of God in Christ was according to the Word. Amen. You got that same power working apart from the Word. Huh? Do you love the Word? It's thrilling. Absolutely thrilling. "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised from the dead and set Him in His own right hand." What's in His right hand, my brother, my sister? Why is Christ at the right hand? Huh? Signifies authority and power, right? And what's in His right hand? The messengers. "In whom is the spirit of revelation for the hour." And Brother Branham categorized this. And he said, "This is for this day." Like in Daniel's day. Who did Daniel see? The same one that Brother Branham saw as the judge in Revelation 1. Saw the throne. Saw the saints. Brother Branham saw the saints. Oh my. Dovetailing. Where is this one? "Far above all principality and power and might." What is? Christ, of whom we have the revelation, who is the Word. Puts us above all principality and power and dominion. And every name that's named is below our feet in Christ tonight. And even in the world to come, and we're about to leave this one, thank God forever. "Put all things under your feet." See? Why? Because He gave Him to be the head of all things to us. And now at the end time, the revelation, completely. See? And we are His body. And what's His Spirit doing now? Motivating us. Now, the light has got to strike to bring in the end time bride. And to bring the end time bride into a resurrection. And that is exactly what James 5 and 7 says. I read it to you the other night, but I'll go over it again because it's worth going over. He said here, "The husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth, got long patience for it, till he received the former and the latter rain." And said, "Be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And while you're waiting, don't fuss." I'm one of the biggest fussers of the whole bunch. That's why I yell so loud. I'm preaching to myself. Don't grudge. Have brotherly kindness, brotherly love. Lest you be judged. Hey, something happened. die before our time, get sick because it's too serious now. Because I heard a brother say, I can't fellowship with those that don't believe like me. You'd be surprised who said it, so I'm not going to tell you. Then you wonder why the church is split. See, if you can't see that Brother Branham's going to come back on a white horse and so on in Revelation 4, I mean, in the fourth seat, he said, you're spiritually blind. I did all my best, but I'm not spiritually blind, my brother and my sister. You know, big swelling words are going to cost people some money. I want to go right down the middle of the road. I don't know if he's coming back and what way he's coming back. Now, I know he's coming back. What he's going to do, I don't know. But I believe he's not going to just come and say, hi. I believe he's going to do something. I know what he's going to do. You don't either. That's why you talk about it. You show me where you know certain things in the future. You don't know a thing about the future. And why do you talk about it? Why do you divide yourself? I don't divide myself. As God is my judge, I stand right in the middle of the road. You say, well, Bailey, you vacillate. No, I don't vacillate. I stand right in the middle of the road. Because I don't know, and I don't know. You show me one thing tonight in all these meetings. I have preached about anything I don't know. I have preached it because I do know it. See? I don't know those other things. And the prophet said, and knoweth it not. He said, don't you fool with it. And he said, the minute you think you know is the time that you don't know. I'm talking about those things down the road, not what he taught us here. Those future things you're trying to figure out. He said, preach on the thunders. I can't. I just say what he said. That's what them seven seals is all about. Amen, prophet. Not some off-the-cuff statement either. He said it, I believe he meant it. I'm afraid a lot of people didn't know the prophet that I knew, my brother and my sister. Now it says in Zechariah 7:14-7, evening time it shall be light. The same light shall strike again and bring forth a virgin bride who is a virgin of his word, and she is clothed. Remember that virgin bride? She's a virgin of his word. She has got oil, and she has got clothing. It's all word. And it says in that day, according to Ezekiel 47, living water shall come forth and will not just to the ankle, not just to the knee, not just to the loin, but deep and wide, right up to waters to swim in. What did Brother Branham say that was? It was the Word. The Word of God poured forth. What's it for? To be our Jordan to cross over. We're going to cross over by the Word of God. The bride will be born, B-O-R-N-E, carried out on a high tide of the revealed Word, and will receive the full benefits of Calvary and the full grace of God, because there's no other way to receive the grace of God and the benefits of Calvary. Ah, Brother Branham told us that. We're not ignorant. Over here in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, it said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, or fear you missed it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Gospel, not law, gospel. Grace by a pillar of fire and a sacrifice and a prophet. Amen. Over the Red Sea, out into Jordan. Hallelujah, let's go in by faith. And they said, forget it. But it didn't profit them. No, it didn't, because the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they died with that sacrifice. They died with the pillar of fire. They died with the miracles. They died with the signs and wonder. And God said, they're dumb. And Paul said, I count all things but dung. All these things. Every sign, every wonder, every miracle. Not that they're dung in the sense that you want to categorize the things of God as manure. But I'm trying to show you something. Everything that he thought he knew and relied upon, he said, is nothing. Don't rely upon those gifts and things, my brother and my sister. Balaam's got us all beat. Oh, Balaam's got us all beat. You bet he has. Yes, sir. Not mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Doesn't do a bit of good to have a sacrifice. There will be no rest without the word of Almighty God. See? Oh, she has the benefits of Calvary. I'm so glad we had the prophet of Malachi 4 with the evening light of Zechariah 14. And I'm glad he found a bride of such character to listen to the message. Well, I've got better character. Hallelujah. You just watch my life. I like to watch your life. I know you're sweet and wonderful. God bless you. No problem there. I can tell you honestly, there isn't anybody in this building who's not better than Lee Vail. And I'm not saying that humbly, as though I'm some such gracious person, because I am not humble and gracious. As Bob said, his pride is not counterfeit. It's genuine. I appreciate that, those apples. They came right out of my kind of a barrel. And I'm just telling you the truth. No problem with me. I admit it. I admit it. But brother, sister, I'm hanging on to one word. Hanging on to that word. Because Brother Branham said, find that bride of the character to listen to the message. Which is the shout. Which is the first step. Or one or a third of a part of the rapture. I'm glad that this bride could stand in the waters of separation and be washed by the word. Because believe me, the message of Brother Branham sure separated the people. Every time I talk to somebody, but you see, he changed his doctrine. But you see, he said this. And I said, he sure did, and I believe it. I'm glad he said it. I'm not trying to be unique or smart or funny and say, look at me because I've listened to a vindicated prophet. That's not it at all. I'm supposed to listen. God said to. I'm supposed to fear. He told me to. So I'm glad that bride could stand still in the waters of separation and be washed by the word. And then come forth to be dressed as the prophet held the sword. And he said, bring on your holy vesture with the holy word of God standing by. Brother, sister, what better raiment than the holy word of God? Amen. You know what that means? You're right back behind the word where Eve was. Now we can walk to the tree of life to immortality. Now we can come. Amen. No longer the flaming sword to defend that tree of immortality. Amen. No, it's all over. See? Oh, brother, sister, don't you understand? The false prophets and their gang are wrong mechanics, correctly anointed. We are right mechanics. Amen. Correctly anointed. And when the right mechanics come to one place where he said 10 people in one room really agreeing, there'll be a rapture. You say, well, Brother Ben, I'm looking for all this. You look for anything you want. I only want one thing. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, make me one with that word. I don't care what your walk is. You can have the best walk in the world apart from that word. It won't do you any good. Now, I'm not saying don't walk, right? I'm not saying don't love. I'm just telling you something. The word comes first. Amen. I'll prove it here. God said, and there was. Amen. And out of the was, there came the character and all the rest. It's the word that counts. So the bride is dressed. Being fully dressed at this moment, getting into a full dress. Remember, the scripture calls it a vesture. What makes that little woman getting married different from the rest? She has the bridal garment, the veil, and the flowers in the man by her side. But it's really her vesture before the groom comes that separates her from all the other females, though they are identical to her, but she has a vesture, and it means that she is the bride. We have a vesture, which is the holy word of God, which makes us different. See? Why? Because we're believing it. And when you believe, you're going to go in. See? We too have seen the power of God. We too have seen the grapes of Eshcol. We too have seen the vision of the promised land. But there's just one difference. We believe the word. And she's getting ready to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm glad she has already judged. Yeah? By the light of the evening time. She is already judged because she has already come to the light. And remember what I said the other night? Brother Branham said, I'll go with him through the judgment. He said, that is the word of the hour. Oh, how tragic for those outside the word, boasting in a sacrifice, relying upon gifts and anointings, living in Laodicean emotions. They refuse the truth of God's revealed word, as we said in Hebrews 4, with no faith in the gospel, though they claim it. And they die in the wilderness. Brother, sister, I don't belittle the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. Without the blood, without the sacrifice, heaven's gates would be closed. Eternal life would be lost to us. See? In other words, eternally separated from God. Brother Branham said when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, it was the Holy Ghost, and Adam became an eternal being. And they said, but Brother Branham, he died. But he said before he died, there was a sacrifice. But that sacrifice could not bring him back to God. That sacrifice could not raise him. But Jesus died. And the life that was in him was shed forth and back upon a bride. See? And Christ raised them from the dead that believed in him and looked forward to him. And now one day, we're going to be raised because of that life. Thank God the life was shed, my brother, my sister. But I want to tell you something. There's conditions attached to it. You got to believe the word. The judging word. The condemning word. You say, old Baal, you're like Branham. You condemn them all. Look, I don't condemn anybody. Come on in. I don't condemn anybody. It's a free lunch. Why don't you come and eat it? The water's free. Come and drink it. No one's holding anybody back. But there's a specification. The world is crazy today. And they arrested a woman the other day because she tried to give away some money. She's making a little test. They stopped her doing it. Then they let her go. See, nobody gives away any money. The world doesn't believe anything. It's mixed up. They could have this message, but they don't want it. Brother Branham came vindicated. What more does anybody need when the proof is existent? You don't have to prove and prove and prove. Look, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1 and 2, 1 and 1 make 2, 1 and 1 make 2, 4. I don't care how you put it. 1, 1, 1, 4, 2, 2, 4, 3, 1, 4, 3, 1, 4, 1, 3, 4. I don't have to prove it any longer. It's been proven. The message is vindicated. All you got to do is believe it. Then you grow in it. If you only know this much, you're safe and secure. Don't worry. You got no problem. Just believe it. If you know this much, hallelujah, you're not that much further in. Don't worry. You're not. You're no further in. But that's your measure. No problem. See? You got one little tiny gift or manifestation here. No problem. The other fellow got a great big thing. No problem. No problem. Just come on in. See, just walk in the light. That's what Brother Brown said. We'll walk in the light. I'm going to tell you something. That's all you will walk in, or you ain't going to walk in at all. Was he saying we'll walk in the light? He could have been. See, sure, the sacrifice. Praise God for sacrifice. None of this would be available. Christ died to take us from condemnation. But the condemnation only goes when you receive, see, the revealed word, which is a manifestation of the name of the Son of God. Do you believe on that name tonight, my brother, sister? Well, come on. Now, here's the test. He that believes on the name of the Son of God and the revealed word is the manifestation, or tells you what it is, right here, the end of the hour message. Do you believe on that? Do you believe on it? Well, come on, do you believe on it? You're a peculiar crowd tonight. You're still in doubt. We've got to preach my sermon over again. Do you believe what the prophet said? Now listen, I read what he said. I got a lousy memory, so I'll just read it to you. I'll find my notes here. Just hold it again. Yeah, he said here, the word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. Now you got to believe on the name of that Son of God. See? Right? Now, it's got to be manifested through the word interpreted. Are you believing on the name, which is the word interpreted? Do you believe it? Come on, do you believe it? You're still sitting there saying, I don't want to be mean to you, but listen, your life is in the balance, not mine. It's not my life that's in the balance, it's yours. I'm not an evangelist now, let's understand. I'll not plead for souls, that's up to you. You'll never get me to make an altar call unless you put faith in the one step you took to come here. Forget it. Well, I learned that years ago. I said, when were you saved? I went to the altar 18 years ago. I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, when were you born again? You believe what I just said tonight? You got to believe a vindicated prophet, brother. Says, don't believe Lee Vail. I don't ask you to believe me. I've been criticized clean across the world now that people follow me. You follow me, I'll hit you with the club. I'm not kidding. I wouldn't follow myself. God have pity. I know my limitations, but the prophet said the word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God. Are you believing on that name tonight? Huh? Well, you better believe on it. Because he said, if you don't believe, you're condemned. If I don't believe, I'm condemned. I'm not trying to make anything hard tonight. I'm not trying to unsimplify what the prophet made simple. I believe tonight I have made simple the way the prophet made it simple. Because he said it and I showed you where it was. Do we believe on that name? Because that's what the scripture, that's what a prophet said. He was vindicated. I believe on that tonight, brother, sister. I don't know how deep I believe it, but I believe it. I can't prove how thoroughly I believe it in the sense that I can answer your questions. If you ask me a question, I can prove nothing. But I know he said it. And I know that it's true because that's what Jesus said. Now let me tell you this then, my brother, sister. If we believe this, we have passed from death unto life. Amen. And we can never come into judgment because we've already come to the light to be judged. Then if we're already judged by the light, we'll never be judged again by the same light. Now I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll be glad to because he's with me now. For the spirit of the revelation, the spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, as Gabriel appeared to Daniel, the same mighty seventh angel came down to William Branham. Huh? Oh, you don't have to sing what a day that will be. It's what a day now. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Yes, sir. Like the road to Emmaus shall we rise. Kind Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord God, to bless your word tonight by way of the Holy Spirit bringing to our remembrance the things that have been said and the stand we're taking. And I know, Lord, it encourages my own faith and does me so much good to just know the vindicated message is perfect with the Word of God and it all stands out and stares us in the face. And it's not something, Lord, we're seeing because a human mind figured it out. For Lord, you know tonight yourself, I said things I didn't even know I was going to say. It came in a flash. Not a human mind, Lord, but I believe, if not for me, for your people. To let them know what really has taken place. Brother Branham vindicated telling us, Lord, this bride is standing here in the waters of separation to be cleansed and dressed by you. Believing as they testified by their own amens tonight that they believe in this name of the Son of God. And Lord, do we believe this message, this name manifested. Then, Lord, we're not going to come into the condemnation. But we see our names in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Oh, how blessed thou art. My heart just rejoices and sings tonight, Lord. To realize you just keep making it so plain and so plain and so plain. Precept upon precept, word upon word, piling word upon word, revelation of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Lord, for letting us walk in the light. Father, I trust nobody's been offended. Lord, they could be offended me, and I know I deserve it. But Lord, I just hope that I haven't got anybody offended at your word by me or my antics, Lord. Forgive me if I have and help them to understand. I don't have an axe to grind with anybody, but I'm fighting for my own soul tonight as well as for the souls of those that I love who believe your word. And some, Lord, might not be too steady, and I'm trying so hard, Lord, to, as the prophet said, to chop them right out, hew them out with the word of God, to be monuments, pillars in the temple of God, part of the foundation, which is the word of Christ. So, Lord, just bless these people for their sake and for yours. Never mind me. Oh, God, I'm happy, Lord, to be bypassed for them. Help them, Jesus, tonight. I pray earnestly, Lord God, that you'll just at this moment send us such a sweet spirit of the revelation yourself upon them and whisper to their hearts. That's what the prophet said. The interpretation of the Word of God. That's when the manifestation of the name of the Son of God comes in, and we're believing on it. Oh, Jesus, let them see how simple. This is what the prophet said. It was so simple, they're all missing it. But not all, thank God. The all world is going to miss it, but the all bride, the world of God, isn't going to miss it. Oh, Lord, tonight, just talk to your people sweetly right now. And just bed them right down, Lord, in your word and smother them in your arms of love of the word, Lord. For the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him is amongst us. Oh, he came as Gabriel came to Daniel. Hallelujah. God, it just thrills my heart to think about it. Oh, Bible, repeat it. Oh, the riches and depth of this word. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus Christ to this world. And thank you, Jesus, for sending Brother Branham. And Jesus, I receive him just as though it were you. Though he's a man like us, I'm thanking you for him, and I praise you for him, and I want you, Spirit, now that's in our midst here, and I trust in our hearts to help each one of us to say amen to every word the prophet said, and just rejoice with exceeding joy over it, and that now we believe. Just like after you got through teaching on an obscure thing, he said, now we believe. And the people said, that's funny, how come they believe now? Didn't they believe over those other great things? And they didn't believe over that. They believed over the simple revelation you brought them. You said, now do you believe? And they said, we sure do, and you've got it, and we're never going to leave you. We're convinced. And Lord, I believe that's how we stand tonight. Oh God, help your people. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Are you convinced tonight? Now do you believe? Do you believe that name was manifested? Do you believe the revealed word did it? Do you really believe it? Then you're never going to come to condemnation. I'm not saying that. God's word said it. God's word said it. Now, word of God can't lie. Word of God can't. You'll never be in condemnation. I can't say that on my own. I wouldn't have believed it until God gave me the understanding. But I know now I can't be condemned because I believed in the name of the only begotten Son, not some other Son, but the only begotten Son, begotten by the Word and now manifested by the Word. And I believe in that name. And it's above every name. And we're going to go in because of that name. You really believe in that name? Then with joy in your hearts tonight, you can settle the question once and for all. I'm going through, Jesus. I'm going through. Doesn't matter what happens. It's not in my hands anymore. I believe what he said. Now we understand why the prophet kept saying, only believe. Only believe. He said, there's a message coming forth. It's the first step to the rapture. How are you going to make it unless you know you're one of them? How are you going to make it unless you got that garment? Oh, thank God, the vesture's being applied. The name's been manifested, and I believe it. He said, come on in. Come on in. No man's going to pluck you out of my hands, and no man's going to cast you. He said, the sun will smite you no more, and the moon by night. And why, he said, I'm going to take you where there's no day or night. And the Lamb is the light of the city. There'll be no more evil. And the wolf's going to lie down with the lamb. No more aches and pains, no more tears. When he wipes away those tears, there'll be no more remembrance of everything down here. You won't even remember it. Won't remember what a kooky guy or woman you were, and yet Jesus saved you, and you believed on that name when somebody 1,000 times better said, oh, forget it, that's nonsense. See, but Lord, you going to let me in here? He said, yeah, you believed it. The other fellow wouldn't. Not making a difference because you're elect. All the glory to God, my brother, my sister. See? That's what really matters. Heavenly Father, we're going to go home now, and I believe, Lord, you'll guide us, protect us, and save us from injury. But above all, you'll keep us so solemn and reverent in our hearts and minds concerning what we know so perfectly now.
because of your goodness. Not from anything from anybody, but by the Holy Ghost. And that spirit of wisdom and revelation coming as in Daniel's day. And the prophet staying so humble. He didn't scream out, look at me, look at me, look at me. He said, look at Jesus. And look at that word. Oh, he was such a fine man, Lord. But he was only fine because you made him fine. As they've often said, fine feathers make fine birds, but there's got to be the real bird seed in there to get those fine feathers. And there was eagle seed to bring forth the eagle feathers. Amen. Lord, and we thank you for it. And it was just so sweet, Lord. And tonight, oh God, it just seems all the more real that I knew him and the people here knew him because of this word. And Father, I don't want to ever cease appreciating Christ in a bride. So I want you to forgive me for all my ways and wrongs and thoughts and things, Lord. Do something, Lord, of a richer grace if it's my lot to receive a little more in order to show forth the kindness of Christ that was shown to me. And the love and all those good things, Lord, because it was almost even enough of grace that I could know him and these people could know him whom you said, if you receive whom I send, you receive me. And it's just a little bit too wonderful, Lord. But as man stands awed in the face of the mighty elements that God created, Lord, let me stand not less awed in the face of the wonderful revealed word, which is the manifestation of the name of the Son of God of this hour. Help each one of us, Lord, I pray, because in our sober thoughts and moments, Lord, this is what we really want above anything. And whatever it takes, Lord, I know that you that have begun a good work. And if that good work means paring down, circumcising further, cutting off even more, then the good work will continue until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're going to be like him in the glory. So we thank you for it. And blessed be the wonderful name of Jesus, through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we go, coming back to service tomorrow morning, let us go singing with a new revelation and depth of consecration because of understanding the little song that Brother Branham loves so well. We'll walk in the light, brother.
We'll walk in the light. Beautiful light. You're dismissed. The dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night.